if we watch TV or check our email, how often we will see advertisements to find out about your family genealogy, to look at one's ancestry. It's all over, in email, on the TV, on the radio, to look up who one's ancestors were. And on this Sunday before Christmas, we always remember the ancestors of Christ. And the deacon goes through the list of all the names in Matthew's gospel that we read today, beginning from Abraham. But in Luke's gospel, it goes all the way back to Adam and to God. And this ancestry is important for us to hear because it anchors Christ among us, with us human beings. Like we are descended from our parents and they from their parents and so on, Christ is descended from us humans. He is born of a mother without a father, as we sing in the hymns, and eternally begotten of the Father without a mother. And we must hear this ancestry of his, even the wrinkles in it. For if we listen carefully, most of the names were men's names. So-and-so was the father of so-and-so. But the wrinkles are, David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. Solomon was born through adultery. And not only through adultery, but David saw to it that Uriah was killed. So murder. And yet we acclaim David. He's up here on the iconostasis, the great prophet and king who composed the Psalms, the one who repented of his sin when the prophet Nathan pointed it out to him, and composed for us the central psalm of the Orthodox Church, Psalm 50. Have mercy on me, O God, according to the abundance of your mercies. It is the psalm of repentance. It is the psalm King David wrote when Nathan confronted him with his wickedness. And so David ranks among the saints. And where others who are powerful and glorious on the earth will look to connect themselves through their ancestry to someone famous, someone who did something great, a contemporary of our Lord, Caesar Augustus. He has a fat epic poem written for him by a poet to show how he's descended from the great people of the city of Troy. He wants to boast to the world that he's descended from this greatness. But Christ's boast is he's descended from us, sinners that we are, wretches that we are, from David and all the others. And not only is he content to be descended from them, but he wants us to become his ancestors. And how do we become his ancestors? By giving birth to him in us. And in our humility, embodying him in those around us, so that our names are added to that list of names, that he wills to be descended from us, to take form in us, be born in us. Because indeed, brothers and sisters, we carry him in us. And he is born in us when we are aware of his presence in us. Not simply here at church when we pray, but in the everyday moments of our lives. In a fragmented world, a divided world, our own lives that we find divided, where we set aside a compartment for work, a room for school, a compartment for home and family, a compartment for church. But in it all is Christ. For him to be born in us, we must have the awareness of him in us at every moment throughout our day, that he is what unites it all. He unites the whole of our life, the frustrations and the joys, the angers and the merriment, the disappointments and the rejoicing. Because he's not somewhere out there when we pray to him. He is in us, always. And for him to continue to be born in us, we must remember him and be aware of him at every moment in the day. Call on his name in the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. I'm the only sinner, Jesus. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me as a coworker treats me badly, and I want to get back. Have mercy on me when someone's bullying me at school. Have mercy on me when I'm struggling with my homework. Have mercy on me when it's not so easy at home. Have mercy on me in all these moments, my Jesus, that you are born in my heart, born in me. That I become your ancestor too, Lord Jesus. And in humility, in your being born in me, you will be born also in others who will know you, the Savior who humbles himself to be born of us.